Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to present the peak report. It's the last report this week. So I'm going to do this on behalf of the peak team, and in particular, I am the peak tier one manager for those that don't know me. Okay, so I would like also to thank the organizers for this late report. I was at CERN for another meeting, so sorry for that. I'm not going to basically tell about these things. You will find out when I am going through the slides, but this is just the outline what I'm going to talk about. Just to mention that PIC, we are one of the smaller tier ones in WCC. We offer resources for LXCV, Atlas, and CMS. Most approximately 5% of the resources they are asking, and in the center, basically 80% of the resources that are deployed are used by the tier one. Then we also host an Atlas tier two and an Atlas data analysis facility, which is basically using 10% of the resources. And then we also support neutrino, astroparticle physics experiments, cosmology, and so on. So this is the portfolio of what we support. And we have at the moment today 75 kilohertz spec deployed, 7.1 petabytes of disk, and around 17 petabytes of tape. So we have recently made some purchases of hardware, and this is the list of what we bought. We have bought around 11 kilohertz spec of Dell 2680 V4 CPUs. This is going to be immersed in oil, we'll see later. We also bought around 2 petabytes of disk and a bunch of 900 T10K cartridges. All this is already closed, and the material is being delivered to the center. The tier one pledges for this year were not indeed installed in April, and this is due to late availability of funding, and this is the first time in history it happens to our center. We are almost ready to launch new purchases for CPU and disk since the money arrived yesterday. So we are going to launch this pretty soon, and we are talking about 18 kilohertz spec and 4 petabytes disk additional to these purchases here. And so the tape is going to be deployed soon for the tier one. Then the disk will come, and then later the CPU, and this will be most likely be installed around the summertime. As I told you before, the CPU, all the new CPU that we are buying is immersed in oil. So I presented this in Brookhaven, I think, with some chickens and French fries and these things. And yeah, you can read this report here that explains what we are doing with this green cooling revolution tanks full with oil. And all the new material is going to be installed in these units. They're able to dissipate up to 45 kilowatts each tank. I'm going to talk now about the tape evolution. So this is a snapshot of the last 4 years and a half evolution of the tape usage in peak. So here you see many things that happened. So we had in the past an IBM tape library, and then the storage tech library equipped with different technologies. And this is the evolution of the user space along the time. So there are several things you can see here. It's basically we migrated the IBM LTO3 and LTO4 migrations to basically the storage tech because we retired the IBM robot by this date, more or less. Then we migrated all the raw LXC data that was in LTO4 to T10KC and LTO5 technologies in the storage stack. So this is basically the migrations you see here. And we did this because the raw data from the LXC is never deleted, but the Monte Carlo simulations, they delete very often. So they just leave the experiments to delete the data from the tape, and we just migrate what we know that they are not deleting, right? We also migrated some CMS data from LTO5 to T10K, because we needed the LTO5 for LXCV. Then we have a CMS massive deletion very recently, last year, and we basically move a lot of data from the MAGIC experiment. This is a gamma ray chain experiment we support. we are the tier zero indeed of the, of this experiment. We migrated all the LTO4 to T10KC, right? And these are the peaks you observe here, and they're basically going down here, okay? If you look at the slots that are occupied in the system, this is the basically the number of slots we have occupied. We have decreased a lot by means of migrating very old data from LTO4 to newer technology, which is much more dense. So here you have everything that happened, right? So we basically phase out LTO3 by 2014. We are phasing out LTO4 progressively, and in particular, by the third quarter of this year, we are going to phase out all LTO4 tapes we have in peak. We are talking about a bunch of tapes which are, I don't know, it's something like 5,000 tapes. If we sell these tapes at 10 euros for, let's say, like CERN is doing, it will give us some space, right, to hire a person for 1 year or something like this, right? So another thing is that we have some space allocated, so this is the trend of the space allocated in the system. Remember, we only have one library here, and now we have around 73% of the slots of the Storastek library occupied at the moment. And if you look at the terabyte per slot in the system, since we are deploying newer technologies which are much more dense, we started in 2003 having around 1 terabyte per slot in the tape system, and now we have more than 3 terabytes per slot on the system, right? So the old technology migrations has allowed us to have the tape system ready for the next years to come. In particular, we are relying in this Oracle SL8500 tape system equipped with the 10K drives, and you know the histories about the Oracle and these technologies. I'm not going to say much more on this, okay? We also invested recently some time in understanding the staging test that Atlas and CMS have been doing in the tier ones, right? If you are operating a tier one, you have received this test. It seems very obvious to say that it is important to store the files in the tapes with a meaningful set of five families or tape families being defined. The data management systems of the experiments should send large bulk of files to the tape systems, because otherwise we are not able to order the files in the systems, and we are basically delivering the data in a non-optimum way. And we have been basically looking into this very carefully, right? And the tests done so far have been very useful in peak to better tune the system, even if we are performing several factors, I mean, 3 or 4 factors above our expectations. But in particular with CMS, we have detected that they are not putting a lot of pressure, so they don't send a lot of files to the tape systems. And this creates, let's say, the non-efficient way to retrieve data from the tape system. And this is being investigated in great detail with the CMS experts. So here, this is an example. So these are the number of requests that the CMS is sending to our tape system. And you see that they sent a large number at the beginning of the test, and then they send a scattered amounts of files requesting from time to time to the tape system. So in this regime, you are not able to better order the files, and you are mounting and mounting tapes all the time. So this is basically the histogram of all the tape mounts that you have had in this period, and you have tapes that have been mounted up to 70 times to retrieve files, right? So this is very inefficient. Even if the rates we are delivering are fine, the tapes are being stressed a lot, right? So some work is needed here to improve the situation. So as you know, the largest resource increase is happening today in the tape systems. I think I encourage all the tier ones to proactively supervise and help the experiments to optimize these things, because this is going to be overkilling in the next years if the experiments would like to operate the systems in this way. Okay. Another thing to say is that we upgraded the wide area network, so we upgraded from 10 to 20 gigabit around September 16, and this is basically the connection. We have a 10 gigabit for the LXE One, 10 gigabit for the LXE OPN in the end. And this is basically the day where we migrated, and we have a lot of exports to CMS and Atlas. Okay. We are testing many services in IPv6. We are very active in the HEPIX IPv6 working group, and we have a DCACH IPv6 instance at the moment. We have worked with the NSTOP developers to validate and certify the service, and this is fully compliant, this version. We have also worker nodes in IPv6 available for validation with experiments. We have many production services already running in dual stack, so we have the production DCACH pools and the doors are in dual stack. We have the XUD local redirectors in dual stack, XQuid servers, and half of the farm is already in dual stack. Okay, so the next things to migrate are the CPUs that we have immersed in oil, that they need some network reconfiguration. So it's not as simple as the other ones. We are also deploying HT Condor in production in peak to replace Torque Maui. So we are almost ready for doing this. We are going to partition the farm to do this transition. So the thing is that we will migrate all the tier one to HT Condor, then the tier two, and then the rest of the experiments we support in the center. We have at the moment 10% of the farm running in HT Condor, and in particular, as we are going to move very soon to 30% of the resources, and in the end, the whole tier one share, this will happen pretty soon. Okay, this is going to be very easy because it has been certified by all the experiments we support. We also developed the APL accounting for the HT Condor CE, and this has been tested and now has been pushed into production. The solution was presented in a very recent WLCG operations coordination meeting, so you have the Indico agenda here, and you also have the GitHub area where we have the mechanism, I mean, all the things that you need to publish data to APL. And this generic solution is being validated with the APL experts. So if you are interested to use it, just ask us. Jordi Casals is also here, so the main developer of this tool. Okay. Other topics, we are also very active members in the HEPIX CPU benchmarking working group, and in particular, we are running a lot of fast benchmarks in isolated worker nodes, which give us a control environment. And we are leading the CMS efforts in this topic and running also dedicated Monte Carlo simulations. So here you have one of the plots that we produce. So you have the basically for a given CPU, if you normalize to 16 cores, this is the hyperthreading region, and I mean, these are the physical cores of the machine and the logical cores, and you see how the system reacts to HESPEC or DB12 or the TTBAR simulation that you are running for CMS. There are going to be more details in Domenico's talk today. We also have a DCACH CMS setup for middleware readiness, and this is also very, very used to validate the DCACH for CMS. We also have new features available for the Nagios plugin for the Ops SAN test. Remember that we did in the past a Nagios plugin for the WLCG SAN test, and we also have one for the Ops test. So if you are interested to use this, ask us or just go to this GitHub and just get the material. It's pretty straightforward to install. We are participating in Helix Nebula Scientific Cloud with the focus on astroparticle physics experiments. We are also developing components for Creek, which is supposed to replace the BDII in the future. And this is made by Ares Bedai. And Alessandro will provide more details today or tomorrow. And also, we have a Cosmo Hub on Hadoop, which is a web portal to analyze and distribute massive cosmological data. And this is the topic for the next talk. Thanks.
Livio. What's your experience so far with running in production hardware which is emerging to oil in terms of performing repairs or hardware upgrades?
That's a good question. For the moment, since we have some funding limitations, we just equipped the system with a bunch of around 36 servers, and this is now going to be equipped with a lot of more servers. Right? So there are a few things you need to do before immersing the CPUs in oil. So you need to take out the fans, the dissipator of the CPU, and so on. This means that if you do this manipulation yourself, you lose the warranty from the vendor, right? So you need to talk to the vendor to get some hardware which is fully certified to run in oil. Once you have this and the machines are fully installed, you typically don't touch the installation. So we don't go there and take the machines out and so on. So manipulating the machines is a bit much more uncomfortable than doing that in a rack, right? Because you need to push up the machines and you need some help from a machinery to take the machines. But since these are worker nodes, we are not doing a lot of manipulation on these machines.
Okay, so in case there is any failure, we'll have a broken disk or memory module, then...
Yeah, in principle, we didn't have failures with this system running. We are running this since 1 year and a half. And if you have a failure in a worker node, simply you just don't touch it. And then you can wait until you have a few failures in a tank to make an intervention to, because you need to take the machines out, you need to leave the machines for many hours to so the oil sleeps and so on. So
okay. Yeah. Thanks.
So we are not considering immersing disks because you need to replace disks very often, right?
Well, you can do it with SSDs or helium-filled drives.
These are equipped with SSDs.
Yeah. So if you have SSDs,
otherwise the oil can
be inside. Well, you could also use spinning disks, but
or helium disks.
Yeah.
The new ones are coming with.
Yeah. They need to be helium, which are sealed.
Yes.
Is a question there?
So on the IPv6 work, I noticed that PIC was the only tier one that is in the top 10 list for transfers. So congratulations and good job. And I was curious if you were tracking failure rates or transfer rates, or if you've gotten past, you know, does it work, and into is it performing as well? Do you have a good feel?
We are monitoring this. Under the group, and in particular the group indeed is monitoring all this. And I think Andrea Siava has shown up that there are some spurious failures, but I think they are not related to the system as a whole, let's say. So there are not tremendous things that are happening with this thing. We just simply tested the transfer, for example, to some sites they were working, and we don't observe more failures to sites in IPv6 than IPv4. There are some spurious things that happen either in IPv4 or IPv6 that sometimes it's very difficult to trace which is the origin of the problem, right?
Other questions? Comments?
Okay, no other questions, so let's thank Pepe again.
Thank you.